Would you take your Bible with me, please, this morning and open to the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus? Would you find with me the 17th chapter, please? Exodus 17:1. And I'd like to begin reading at that first verse, Exodus 17 and verse number 1. And all the congregation of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did quarrel, that word chide is the word for quarrel, with Moses, and said, "Give us water that we may drink." Moses said unto them, "Why quarrel ye with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses. The word murmur is another word for complaining. And they said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried to the Lord, saying, "Lord, what shall I do with this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people, take with you of the elders of Israel and your rod, wherewith you smote the river that is in your hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon a rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of Israel. Well, today, rocks and stones. Most of us don't find them very exciting, right? But I know why. Rocks are boring. They just sit there. And they seem to have no purpose whatsoever. At least to many of us. But if you'd have been a Jew, and you and your family, your livestock, all of your neighbors and their livestock had no water, and on the day that you and your family had nothing to drink, a man comes by with a stick and hits a rock, and water suddenly floods out of that rock, you'd think twice the next time you saw that rock. Anybody here can remember the last time they had their water shut off by the water company? What kind of difficulties you had? Now listen, generally speaking, rocks and stones are boring, all right? But if you had water bursting out of one of them as though it was a flowing river, guaranteed, you would never forget that rock. Now, it's likely that when you read your Bible, some of you find the Bible history interesting, which it is interesting, and I concur with that heartily because I like history. But folks, the Bible is more than history. The Bible tells us something about God in every passage. As a matter of fact, everything in the book of Exodus, beginning to end, points directly to Jesus. I'm going to show you that in just a moment. Today, rocks and stones. Father, thank you that you have given to us so much in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that the words that are on the pages in our hands right now are words from your heart to our heart. Thank you, Lord, that these beautiful words, these powerful words, are just what we need today. Heavenly Father, you know what's going on in our homes and our jobs. You know the struggles, you know the problems that we're facing right now, Lord. We know that you are a God of all wisdom, all mercy. And we pray that, dear Lord, that even as we find today the words of Scripture, I ask, Lord, that we'll see that they are life-giving words, that they are blessed and powerful words, and just the help that we need today. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for a free salvation. We thank you for the free gift of righteousness. We thank you, dear Lord, that you have drawn us to yourself. We thank you that we belong to you. We're the sons and daughters of God. We've been right, made right by the work of salvation by the Holy Spirit. And so we say thank you this morning, Lord. For the one that's here this day, dear Lord, that is struggling, having a great difficulty, a test maybe, Lord, a challenge that they don't think that they could surmount, we ask, Lord, that you will show them your grace and to depend upon you, Lord, to see them through. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We give you all the honor and the thanks. We love you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, somebody has wisely said that the old thoughts are often the best thoughts. By that, I mean this. The Bible is the oldest, best book ever written. The Bible. You got the Old Testament, you've got the New Testament, you've got God constantly comparing himself so that we'll find out what he's like. I think you're about to see that God compares himself to something that you would have never expected him to compare himself to. I want you to think with me about the fact that God compares himself to a rock. I want you to think back with me for just a moment to an Old Testament story. Do you remember the barren woman Hannah? Do you remember the barren woman Hannah? Her story really covers the first couple chapters of the book of 1 Samuel. And do you remember that she was barren? Do you remember that a woman by the name of Peninnah, mocking her, said these words to her, "The Lord has closed up your womb." Do you remember that? And do you remember that this woman prayed and asked God for a child? And do you remember that this woman submitted herself to God and said, "Lord, if you give me a child, I will submit that child to you." Do you remember that? Well, barren Hannah bore a son. God answered her prayers. She named him Samuel. Samuel became one of the greatest of the prophets of Israel. But here's why I wanted to just bring up Hannah's story to you. I want you to think about the prayer that she prayed after her son was born. Now, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to read it to you. And I want you to listen. In 1 Samuel, the Bible says this. Hannah prayed and she said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord. For there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." Now this word, Hebrew word, is the word sorry. Sounds like our English word with a T in front of it, sorry. It's a Hebrew name for God. It actually means the Lord our rock. And God had done something impossible for a barren woman, just as he had done something impossible when the Jews in the wilderness had no water. And the water came forth out of the rock. She said, "There is none holy like the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God." So you got Moses. Then you got Hannah. Now, just quickly, I want you to think about King David. Before he was king, he was despised by King Saul. He was pursued by King Saul. King Saul wanted the man dead at any expense. King Saul wanted David to be slain. The Bible tells us that on more than one occasion, he was miraculously delivered out of the hand of King Saul. Can I just tell you what David said when the Lord miraculously delivered him out of the hand of King Saul? This is what he said. This is what he prayed. The Lord is my rock, said David. My fortress, my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Listen, please. The old thoughts are oftentimes the best thoughts. By that I mean that most of us generally would not think that God was a rock. But when you read your Bible, as you're about to see, throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, the Bible presents God, surprisingly, as a rock. You see, the Bible tells us exactly what God is. The Bible tells us what God is like. He is like a rock that gushes forth with water. The same rock that fills the barren womb with a child from a praying woman. The same rock that rescued a shepherd boy, a shepherd who became a soldier from an angry king. Now, I'm going to guess that most of you haven't thought in a long time that God was a rock. As a matter of fact, when reading through your Bible, you may have, what they say, glossed over it and completely missed the fact that God says in the Bible that He's a rock. So today, I want to say something to you about God being a rock. As a matter of fact, it's quite interesting. Some of you know that the name Peter, remember the name Peter? His name means stone, little stone. I want you to think about a marvelous, wonderful thing that God says when He says that He is a rock. Everywhere you go, you find stones. Can you go anywhere you don't find stones? Do I dare ask if any of you like stones? Does anybody like stones? We've got some stony people here, four of you. Wow, stony people. Builders, contractors, they know something about stone. You can't walk down the sidewalk of your house except all of that concrete has got stone in it. Chalk. You know what chalk is? Chalk is stone. You have a pencil? Did you know your pencil has stone in the center of it? It's called graphite. That's a stone. And of course, there is this material that's in your computer and in your phone. There's a stone in your computer. There's a stone in your computer. You know what the word silicone means? Hard stone. Silicone is so amazing that they can slice that stone down to 1/1,000,000th of a millimeter, place it inside your computer, inside your phone, your television, your car, and every single appliance you have in your house. And today we call them silicon chips. It's just a type of stone. Now, when I was in the kingdom of Lesotho and we had our Bible Institute in operation, I noticed lots of stones on the ground. Listen, folks. Thousands of stones everywhere. These little beautiful stones everywhere. Little tiny stones. Beautiful stones everywhere. They're just everywhere. It's like grass. They didn't have any grass, by the way. But they did have stones. Loads of stones. As a matter of fact, on my first trip back from Lesotho, I brought back with me 200 pounds of stones. My last trip, I found a beautiful agate about that size right there. You know what an agate is? Beautiful stone. I just found a stone laying there. I brought that stone home. I had that stone cut. I had that stone polished. I had that stone set in two rings. One for me and one for my wife. And this past year, in the country of Lesotho, in January 18th, 2018, a 910-carat diamond was mined in Lesotho. worth upwards to $50 million. It's the largest diamond that was ever found in Lesotho. Now, some of you might not think much of stones, but I will guarantee you that every one of you, if you're married, have some idea that maybe there are some stones that you like, right? Listen, folks, when the Bible speaks about anything, I take it to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I want you to do the same thing. I also want you to think about the fact that if God compares himself to a rock, there's a reason why God compares himself to a rock. Every word in the Bible has been placed in the Bible by the Holy Spirit. Every topic in the Bible has been chosen by the Lord. Every page should be seen as though God wrote every word on that page. And all the passages in the Bible are designed to help us to see and to know him. So stones and rocks. Who cares about stones and rocks? Are they significant? Are they important? What can they say to the heart about stones? Oh, isn't there a passage that talks about a stony heart? Would you find with me one passage in the New Testament? I showed you Old Testament. Now I want you to find the New Testament with me. 1 Peter chapter 2. I want you to find with me the fourth verse. Please find with me. And now as I read, I want to see if you will understand with me not only how God views rocks and stones, but how important they are. And I want you to see something else while reading the passage. I want you to see with me that Peter quotes the Old Testament three passages in dealing with the point of the stones. You with me, please? 1 Peter 2, look at verse 4. To whom, that's Jesus, us, to whom coming, to Jesus, see what it says there? To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed, that word means rejected, by men, but chosen by God, and precious, you also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also, it is contained in Isaiah 28:16. Behold, I lay in Zion, that's Jerusalem, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be ashamed. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he, Jesus, is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, from Psalm 119, verse 22, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. In another quotation from Isaiah 8, verse 14, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at his word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Does anybody here get the impression of the writer here with me? Do you get the impression that he knows something that you don't know? That he knows something about stones you don't know? That he knows something about you that you don't know? So how important are these stones and rocks? Peter says that we who believe on Christ have come to a living stone. Is not that what your Bible teaches? The same one who was rejected by men, but the same one who was chosen by God, the same one who is the precious one. Now, who here thinks that Jesus is a living stone? Who here would tell anybody that Jesus is a living stone? Who would even think that Jesus is a living stone? You see, it's quite striking that Jesus compares himself to a living stone. It's striking. You would have thought he'd compare himself to something else, not a stone. Well, what does it mean? Folks, he is the invisible rock. Listen to me. Invisible rock, unmistakably stronger and much more sturdy than anything you can see with your eyes, touch with your feet. He's the one who has life. He is the one who gives life. He is the living stone. And the moment you put your trust in Him as your Savior, the Bible tells you that the living water flowed into your spirit. That's what the Bible teaches. According to the Bible, He is the rock of your salvation. Listen to this. Listen closely. Psalm 62. Truly, my soul waits upon God. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and glory. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Now, whatever you think about God, whatever you thought about God, whatever you know about God, and whatever you believe about God, I want to change today. Because I want you to believe what the Bible says about God. Revise your thinking. Begin to see things from the viewpoint of the Bible, and it's almost like the pages of the Bible become much more powerful to your spirit. Peter adds this in verse 6. Look at 6. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Look at verse 7. He's the stone rejected by the builders. Look at verse 8. Jesus is even counted as a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Now, did you notice that three times in the passage there, three times, the word precious is used? Precious, precious, precious. Verse 4, verse 6, and verse 7. The one in the highest value. The one who is most distinguished and certainly the one who is most prized of all. So from the Old Testament to the New Testament, Jesus is Jehovah Tsari. He is the Lord our rock. Here's an interesting thing I dug up with respect to the Septuagint. The Septuagint was the Greek translation of the Old Testament. I noticed 20 times, not I noticed, but I discovered 20 times the word rock is translated into the Greek God. This past week, I'm sure you were tested in your faith. Some of you are tested more in your faith. But this past week, it's very likely that you had a test of your faith. So my question to you is, did you turn your attention to Jehovah Tsari? Whether it was the water, they didn't have water, no baby for the mother, or David being pursued by the king, I would say those were tests of their faith. They found out who the rock was. See, you discover something in your tests, your test of your faith, that you can't find out any other way. Yeah, you can read about it, you can listen to somebody else's testimony, but what about what's going on in your own experience when you have a testing of your faith? Did you find out what God was like? Or did you find out how, I don't know, weak or whatever you were? You see, the most dependable person is the one that you depend upon the most. And if it ain't God, it ain't God. If it is God, it is God. The most dependable is the invisible rock. So I want you to see God for who He is. I want you to see that God stands out in the heart of the one who is tested more so than the untested. So whatever experience you've got, whatever problem you've got, whatever overwhelming stuff you have to deal with, there is a rock that is much sturdier than you or anybody else. And that is the invisible Tsari. Jehovah is our rock. I want you to see, whether it's the 39 books in the Old Testament, whether it's the 26 books in the New Testament, I want you to see the Bible clearly tells us who God is. And the Bible says God is a rock. Now, how does that help How does that help? How does that help me understand the Lord if I know that the Lord is invisible and that the Lord is a living stone and that He is precious and that He is a cornerstone and that He is a stumbling stone and that He is a rock of offense? Now, we all know what stones are used for. We like to build walls, right? We like to build walls. We know they're buildings. They're used for altars. Do you remember the 12 stones when the Jordan River had dried for the people to cross over to come into the Holy Land? Do you remember what they did? They took out one man stones, these big one man stones. Everybody carried them out and put them on the side of the river. Why would they do that? Why would they do that? You see, if God was their rock, every time they saw that pile of stones, they would remember, who dried the river? They became stones of remembrance. By the way, for those of you who have gone to funerals at the cemetery, what do we always do? We put up a stone. And what does that stone do? That stone speaks. That stone speaks. It says something to us. God is your living rock. I agree, He's invisible, but He is your living rock. See Him for who He is. Don't make Him up. Let Him be what He is for you. Whatever it is you are into, whatever it is you're experiencing, whatever is going on in your heart and life, would you see God for who He is? He is the invisible living rock. That's what He says. Unmistakably stronger than any ground you can stand on. The Bible says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, 1 Peter 2:4. Would you listen with me to Moses for just a moment? Listen to Moses. Here's Moses. Genesis 49, verse 24. Listen closely. The mighty God of Jacob is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Here's Moses again in Deuteronomy. He is the rock of our salvation. Here's Deuteronomy again. He is the rock that gave us birth. You see, you read in the Bible that a giant fish swallowed a man. And he spit him out on the land. And he commanded him to preach God's word in the land of Babylon, in the city of Nineveh. You read in the Bible that Moses came upon a bush, and the bush did not burn up. Although it was burning, it didn't burn up. And you read about the Jews marching around the city and the walls collapsing because they shouted out and they blew their horns. And you read about the Jews crossing the Red Sea, 2 million people crossing the Red Sea when the waters of the Red Sea were parted by God. When was the last time you even thought about your living stone? You see, the Bible always presents reality. The Bible doesn't present God as a confusing being. God is, please think about it like this, He is simpler than you think He is. He may be much more intelligent. He may be beyond you in every respect, in many cases incomprehensible. But please, folks, see God for who He is. If you see Him for who He is, it makes life clearer. But the Bible always presents reality. Even the things I cannot comprehend, I wish I could. If you don't see the Lord as a rock, how do you see Him? How do you see Him? How do you see God? You know what we're like? We're like the disciples on the day of the resurrection on our way to the city of Emmaus. You know what the Bible says about them? Dull. Slow of heart to believe. All I'm pleading with you for this morning is to believe what God says about God. See, the purpose of word pictures is to help us see what God really is. Let me show you what it means. Turn your Bible back, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Please look with me and find with me just the first verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at this. This is what God says, and I'll tell you, folks, this is what, if this is the Bible, it's true. Look at 10:1. This is what it says there. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the Red Sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual food and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock, and that rock that followed them, that spiritual rock that followed them, was Messiah. See, even when they didn't see the Lord with their eyes, He was there. The invisible God was present there and then, as He is here and now. He's no different today. Same God. He's still invisible and He's still present. Listen, He's still the rock. He's still the rock. So what does your Bible teach you about the rock? Is He the one from those days when the Jews were going through 40 years in the wilderness and they did not lean on the rock? But the Bible says the rock followed them. The Bible teaches that Jesus was right there with them. When they trusted Him, when they leaned upon Him, when they listened to His voice as Moses was preaching and teaching them, when they saw the living water burst out from the rocks. Listen, folks, it must have been overwhelming to them to see water burst out of a rock when a guy bumps it with a stick. It must have been overwhelming to them. Everybody got water when they had none. Providing every step of the way, caring for every need, physically, materially, spiritually. Now, some of you are missing out on the ever-present rock because you don't think of God as a rock. I don't know how you think of Him, but I'm saying, if you don't know what the Bible says, you're missing out on God being who He is to you. He follows you everywhere you go. And every time you have a need, He's ready to supply it. Because He's your spiritual rock. And like David says, the Lord is my shepherd. You know what you can say today? The Lord is my rock. Invisible, yet ever present, supplying every single need. Listen, rocks are everywhere. You can't go anywhere there aren't rocks. Right? And we take them for granted. We take Him for granted as well. Now, I realize this is not a perfect illustration, but I wanted to say this to you this morning. We all know what molten lava is, right? We all like molten lava. I love it. I love it. Listen, if you've got a video of molten lava, send it to me. I just love to see that molten lava flow. You know what? 27 miles in the earth? 27 miles in the center of the earth. This stuff is so hot. This stuff is so unbelievably... Molten lava is extremely hot. It's always moving. It's constantly flowing. And sometimes it's spit out of a volcano and it flows everywhere. And then it hardens to become something very durable. And that very durable thing, over time, disintegrates and becomes soil. And the soil is the means by which everything grows. So you are all eating disintegrated rocks. By the way, there are people that eat rocks. Have you heard about them? Seriously, there are people that eat rocks. Some people eat salt, and they didn't realize they were eating rocks. I did. I had a professor that ate chalk. He also threw erasers at people when they were talking. But he ate rocks. Listen, the old thoughts are often the best thoughts. The old thought is that God is a rock. He's not a small, throwing, skipping rock. He's a large, massive, boulder-type rock. He is a large structure rock. He is a foundation rock. Someone you can build your life on. If you're not building your life on that rock, what in the world are you building your life on? You believe everything he says? He's totally reliable. You can stand on that rock. You can build your life on that rock. Absolutely. Listen, 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Do you remember when Jesus finished up the Sermon on the Mount? Do you remember the story? Two builders? Remember that story? Two builders? Because everybody knows that the storms arrive. So Jesus taught, what are you going to do when the storm arrives? You're going to build on a sandy foundation, or you're building on a solid foundation? Listen, he's like a man that built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that hears and doeth not is like a man with a foundation, without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Jesus goes on to say, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his life upon a rock. So are you among the wise who hear the word of Jesus and do the word of Jesus? As the living rock, God is God alone. He is present. He is awesome in his presence. Yes, he's invisible, but he's a protector. He's a shelter in a time of storm. He's durable. He's reliable. He's faithful. He's unfailing. He's permanent. You can completely depend upon this reliable rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the foundation for everything in your life. Would you find with me, we're not done, but would you find with me a hymn? 526. Now, I'm going to read the first verse, 526. Look what it says. 526, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. was a son of a husband and wife, a mom and dad that ran a pub. And the pub took up all their time. So the son ran the streets. He knew nothing about God whatsoever. Let's see if I can find what he says there about his testimony. He says there, "I was so ignorant that I didn't even know there was a God." And as a teenager, somebody came along and said to him, "Ed, I want to tell you who you need." And he told him about the rock. And his testimony is written right there. You just heard it or sang it. You see, the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one that you can utterly, completely depend upon. Solid, durable, reliable. I'm oftentimes reminded of the fact that when we go through tests, we don't like our tests. Listen, we don't like our faith to be tested. But every time, God wants us to understand who the rock is. Every test. Look in the Bible. Look in the Bible and you see test after test. So you believe He's the living rock? You see, God presents Himself as who He is, not who you think He is. He compares Himself to a solid, living rock. Now, I wanted to go on to this other thing, and I want to finalize by saying the following. He's also referred to in that very same passage in 1 Peter chapter 2 as a stumbling block, as a rock of offense. And I want you to think about how powerful this is. There's really only two things you can do with respect to Jesus. You either believe Him or you reject Him. And that's exactly what you find in 1 Peter chapter 2 with respect to the rock. You either believe Him or you reject Him. And there are numerous people all around you and all around me who are believers, and you don't know it, but there are some who are around you that are rejecters. And they've heard about Jesus, and many times it's just on their tongues. Jesus Christ this, and Christ that, and Jesus Christ this, and they take His name in vain. But people all over the world are hearing the message that Jesus Christ is the rock. You've heard it with me. Now I want you to finalize by thinking the following with me. There's a mass difference between the Jews and the Gentiles with respect to Christ. Many of the Jews today reject Jesus as their Messiah. Many Jews have received Jesus as their Messiah. But the gospel has gone to the Gentiles because it was rejected by the Jews. In many cases today, Jesus is a rock of offense to the Jews. Think about it with me, please. He was a Jew. He was a child of Jewish parents. He was brought up in a Jewish home. Jesus believed and practiced all the Jewish traditions. He knew Moses, personally. He believed what Moses said in the Bible. He also, think about it, no other Jew in history comes close to the influence of Jesus the Jew. He continues to have an effect on millions and millions of people. He is Jesus, the Messiah. God incarnate, very God, and very Son of God. Perfect Jew. Nobody can compare in the Jewish religion to Jesus. And He claimed to be their Messiah. He fulfilled prediction after prediction after prediction of their book. We call it the Old Testament. They call it the Tanakh. The Jews, to claim Jesus as their Messiah, they have to overcome Him being a stumbling block and a rock of offense. Jesus did not live a Christian life. Jesus lived the Jewish life. Obedience to the Torah. But in a few years after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jewish followers were into the thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Jewish followers of Jesus. And over the centuries, Christians have persecuted the Jews, saying that the Jews crucified their Savior. So it would be a difficult thing for a Jewish person to have to overcome, because Jesus is a stumbling block. He is a rock of offense. Do you remember what they put on the top of Jesus' cross? Remember what they put up there? The King of the Jews. And somebody said, don't put that up. Say he said he was the King of the Jews. He said, no. He said, what I wrote, I wrote. That's what they put on above the cross. The King of the Jews. Add to the fact that many Jews had become believers in Yeshua, and they still, many of them, observe much of the Old Testament. Jesus lived a Jew, and he died a Jew. And still this moment, there are multitudes of Jews that are deeply offended at Jesus. This lady came to me, a Jewish lady, and she was very offended. I said, what's going on? She says, you see what it says on his car? On his bumper sticker. Said, my boss is a Jewish carpenter. And she was offended. She could not stand the fact that on the back of his car, it said, my boss is a Jewish carpenter. Listen, folks, he's a living rock. He's a cornerstone. Yes, he's a stumbling block. Yes, he's a rock of offense. But he is the solid foundation. There is no other foundation. Father, I thank you again that you've given us your Son. Thank you for the simplicity, Lord, the wonderful simplicity in your Son. Thank you, Father, that we have life eternal. You've made us your own, Lord. We are yours by faith. We have righteousness. And we have your Son living in us. And we say thank you for that today, Lord. If there is one here this morning, Lord, that has never been saved, we pray today would be the day that they would repent of their sin and believe on Jesus. And Father, for those who are saved, we pray especially, Lord, that our hearts would be drawn to the rock to find all the refreshment, the water of life, in the living rock, your Son, the Lord Jesus. In his name I pray, amen. All right, we're going to close today with a beautiful hymn. And I have two ways I want to present this hymn as we finish today. It's number 116, if you'll find it with me. But first we're going to sing it, and later on we're going to sing it again. But for right now, we're just going to sing it. Number 116, and I want you to think about the words as we sing these words today. 116. Would you stand with me, please? Sing, please.
Name of all majesty, fathomless mystery, King of the ages, by angels adored, power and authority, splendor and dignity, bow to his mastery. God has done, sending Jesus is Lord. So Jesus is Lord.